I think for us, the first step came when Ellen was contacted by somebody from the publishing company that did the printing of the book, mm-hmm. Arcadia Publishing. They were looking for somebody to do a book about Fayetteville history, pictorial history, and somehow got in touch with Ellen, and Ellen eventually got in touch with me. So that was sort of the first step.
Well, Rogers and Bentonville both have books done by Arcadia Press. Gabe Land, the director at Rogers Historical, got in touch with me, and so I told Charlie that if he would write it, I would do most of the work on getting the pictures.
Okay, so you kind of split up the responsibilities a little bit.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Ellen went looking for photos. We sort of had two major collections in mind when we started. Shiloh Museum of Ozark History up at Springdale has the Washington County Historical Society's collection of photographs. The Society collected photographs from its beginning in 1951 through sometime in the 1990s. And so we wanted to look at that collection. And then Ellen works at Special Collections, and of course, so we wanted to go through Special Collections and see what was there. We knew that William Campbell, who had written Fayetteville's first narrative history of Fayetteville, he had collected photos as well, and most of those were in Special Collections. So we sort of tackled those two big collections to look at photos.
In Special Collections, we have the Lemke papers. Walter Lemke was the founder of the Washington County Historical Society. There were a lot of pictures in his collection. And William Campbell, who wrote 100 Years of Fayetteville in 1929, which was the first illustrated history, the first history, really, of Fayetteville. And then the McElroy Bank had given us their collection, and we just had numerous other collections from which to pull pictures.
So how many pictures did you look at for this book?
Ellen and I were just talking about how many pictures we looked at, and just the Historical Society's collection at Shiloh is 5,000 images above that. Now, a lot of those are not Fayetteville. The Historical Society collected from across the county. But to figure out which ones were Fayetteville, we had to go through all of them. And the most fun and most difficult part of the job was looking through all the photos and then trying to figure out how to cull the ones that we wanted to keep. And that was frustrating at times because you'd see two photos that were just wonderful, but you knew only one of them was going to represent that sort of part of Fayetteville's history.
Did you ever feel constrained by some sort of word limit, or in just knowing that you had to write captions and not paragraphs and paragraphs on the history of the images?
I felt at pains to get what I wanted to say into just captions rather than having some exposition space. But my training is as a journalist, and I remember at some point Roy Reed talking about the captions in National Geographic magazine, how if you looked at them and tried to look at the caption and pull any word out, you just couldn't do it. Every word was written into those captions for a reason, to tell the reader something they don't know that they can't see from the photo, but that you would want them to know. And so, at least in my mind, I tried to think of our captions the same way. What is obvious in the photo that I don't need to write? What can people not see in the photo and need to write? So that's sort of what guided me on trying to write. But Arcadia, I think they had an 8,000 word limit for the whole book. So that meant if I added a couple words on this caption, I had to take a couple out on this caption. and that was very difficult, yeah.
That's a very tight mm-hmm. word limit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And don't you think figuring out dates was one of the most challenging, particularly on those old buildings, 19th century buildings?
Yeah, some of the dates when the Historical Society was collecting the photographs, they would, of course, try to get a date from the person who was donating it. Do you remember when this happened? Do you know that? And some of that information has made it to Shiloh, and over the years, Shiloh has updated some of the photographs and added information as they found it. But a lot of times, the information on the cut line was just minimal because they just had never had anybody go look for for detailed information about them.
Mm-hmm. How did you go about that? How did you finally find these dates and include them in the book?
Automobiles.
Yeah. Automobiles helped. I would get a scan of a photo from Shiloh Museum, and if it had a photo in it, the first thing I did was blow the photo up until I could see the license plate or the make of the car. I'm not very good with knowing exact years on cars, but I could usually get some sense of, you know, whether it was the early 40s or the 30s or 20s by how old the car was. Some of going through the photos that we didn't use helped a lot, because some of them would be dated, have a date assigned to them, and if you could see a building in one of those photos and correlate it to a photo that you're trying to find information out, sometimes it was meant tracking down, going to the Fayetteville Library and going through a lot of their archival materials, and especially old telephone books, old directories. Those help you figure out when a business was operating.
And sometimes it helped to know date a building came down, and then you'd start working back from that.
And the other thing that Marie DeMarocas up at Shiloh, her team has also gotten very good at looking at clothing, what somebody is wearing, and being able to say, okay, those puffy sleeves didn't come in until here, and nobody wore them after here. So they've gotten very good at pegging pictures by styles, clothing styles, and like I said, automobile styles.
How much time did it take for you guys to complete this book?
Probably about a year from the time that we sort of agreed to do it to when we had to turn over our materials to them. And it's taken another 4 or 5 months for them to get it printed and double check with us on spellings and typos and that sort of stuff. And they were very good at catching us on those things and helping us get the book in ship-shape form.
You guys are experts. And you know a lot about Fayetteville and its history, but was there any piece of information or pieces of information that you came across and you were like, I had no idea?
Several times. Maybe one of the most surprising set of pictures, I think we've got three of them, are of the Veterans Administration Hospital grounds and, you know, when that was all built. And to see that so totally bare, and how they planned that and laid that out.
Yeah, it's
just the look of it.
The hilltop on which the Veterans Hospital is on, it used to be called Watermelon Hill, and the aerial photographs of it show that it was just almost just a big, huge, long field at the brow of the hill. So all of the trees, if you're driving by Veterans now, all the big, beautiful trees that circle the oval driveway, all of those have grown since that time. And that's very often the biggest changes you can see in photos, where either there was nothing in the way of vegetation and things have grown up since then, or in other cases where there was lots of vegetation and it's gone now.
And one of those examples is College Avenue.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. From the turn of the 20th century, College Avenue was very much a residential street. A few churches along it, and at the turn of the century, the new courthouse was built. So it began at that point changing from residential to more commercial. And it was a long, slow process, but it started sort of where the East Center Street and Mountain Street intersect, and eventually made its way north as other buildings of a more commercial nature took hold. Part of it was driven by automobiles. Gas stations started opening and wiping out whatever residential home had been at that site. And rather than having trees in front of their business, they wanted an easy driveway. And mm-hmm. And now Fayetteville, of course, is in that same area, has put in a median and started adding trees again.
Well, I'd like to do a footnote and credit Renee Diaz, who is a architect, but he specialized in historic properties, and he did a paper about Washington or about College Avenue when he was here on the faculty. He was able to trace a lot of it to the coming of electricity, because as they built as the highway became, 71 became the main highway, they were building lines, electrical lines, all down the street and putting poles into the trees and cutting the trees to make way for lighting the street. And that was just, you know, it was what was done. It was progress. And that, he believed, was a big part of the loss of the trees.
One picture that fascinated me the most was there was a pond in Wilson Park.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I'm a recent transplant to Fayetteville, so of course I wouldn't know that. But a lot of people that I have talked to since I've read the book also didn't know that.
You'd have to be a good 80, 90 years old to remember the pond. In the valley of Skull Creek, where Wilson Park is now, a man named A.L. Trent started building sort of a tourist park. And as part of that, he built a dam around the spring that's there. The spring still comes out right next to the Wilson Park Castle. And that spring fed this pond. And it was a very popular place in the 19-teens and the 20s. To go swimming, they had a slide, they had a gazebo for a band, so it was a very popular place during the summer. But in the late 1920s, they decided to build a big concrete pool that is still there, has been remodeled and rehabbed several times. But once they built the new swimming pool, they went ahead and drained the pond, and it's now a softball field. And the pond was known as Trent's Pond since he... informally known as Trent's Pond.
Which are your absolute favorites in the book, the pictures, images of Fayetteville?
One I remember is a photo that we sort of got late in the process. There was a collection of photographs by a photographer named Bennett. I don't remember his first name at the moment, but one was this beautiful nighttime photo looking down Center Street toward the square. Lights all aglow, and you know, it looked to me like some kind of Broadway kind of photo. I think all of us, when we saw it, it was like, oh, yeah.
Well, I was partial to the 1940s, I guess, because I was a child then myself. So there is a picture in the people section of the Pigeon Club, the young people who lived along Washington Avenue, I think, for the most part. But they had this pigeon club, and they're standing there. They're so proud. And these just tell you so much about how people were actually living, daily living. And I'm always drawn to photographs like that.
When you're writing the book, especially a pictorial history book, is it hard to not compare the past and the present?
Visual history is just a layered experience. It's one of my pleasures in life to know what was there, when, and how it's changed. And maybe I don't like the way it's changed, but nonetheless, I have a deep sense of layering.
It's funny growing up in Fayetteville and staying here when... I grew up during the 60s and 70s and got out of college in the early 80s. And most of my friends, close friends, left here and went to Dallas, went to Kansas City, went to big markets to work. And somehow I stayed. And sooner or later, somebody asked me, well, you know, what's it like to live in the same town all your life? And my response is that it's not the same town. It changes so rapidly that, you know, if it were the same town, I would probably be bored to death. But but it's continued to change. And some of that is really good. Somehow you have to weigh those two things and decide which is better and which is worse.
Is there a book signing, book event coming up?
There will be several events coming up. Probably the first thing on our schedule, the Washington County Historical Society has its annual ice cream social on the third Saturday of the month. So come by, and we'll be signing books at it.
August 20th.
We're also planning to do, the Historical Society has a lecture series going on, and so we'll do one of the lectures in October. And we hope people will come to that. It's going to be at the Bank of Fayetteville, and then we'll do a walking tour around the square. The book is available at, I think, at all of the bookstores. I don't know if it's actually on the shelves yet, but we'll be at all of the bookstores locally, Nightbird and Barnes & Noble and Hastings. I think it's going to be up at the University Bookstore as well, and Collier's and places like that. So look for it. All the proceeds go to the Washington County Historical, or I shouldn't say all, but the profits anyway go to the Washington County Historical Society.
Thank you so much, Charlie and Ellen.
Okay.
Well, you're very welcome, Ethy. Thank you very much.